Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Thursday, November 15th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. The Sitka Tribe of Alaska will have a new chairman for the first time in more than 20 years. Mike Baines won the seat in Tuesday's election. He ran against sitting council member Dale Williams, who, the day after the election, resigned the seat he would have held until next year. As KCAW's Ed Ronco reports, another council member walked out the door with him.
Even though Williams lost the election for chairman, he still had a year left in his term on the tribal council. But Sitka Tribe General Manager Ted Wright says Williams resigned on Wednesday, as did fellow council member Wade Martin, who also had a year left. Appointments will be made to fill the vacancies. Williams could not be reached Wednesday night, but Martin told KCAW that his resignation was a reaction to the election results. He also says he submitted a letter to disenroll as a tribal citizen to make himself more employable in Hoonah. The election removed two incumbents from office on the council. Tanya Benorden and Stephanie Edenshaw were seeking their second terms. Voters returned two other incumbents to their seats and elected two new members to the council. The returning incumbents are Mike Miller and Rachel Marino. Newly elected members are Wilbur Brown and Lillian Feldpouch. Election results are scheduled to be certified at noon on November 20th in the Sitka Tribe offices at 456 Catley-Ann Street. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
What does it look like inside of an octopus? You probably don't want to know, but at least firsthand. That's unless you're a student dissecting one during this month's Sitka Whale Fest. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld paid a visit to a very hands-on science lesson and filed this report.
So what we're going to do is we're going to pass out some of these octopus. We've got enough to do an octopus for two or three people.
Marine biologist Reed Brewer hands out trays, each holding a small octopus, to students at the state-run Mount Edgecombe Boarding High School in Sitka. The students from around the state are about to take them apart.
Medium, large, medium. For dissection etiquette, don't touch people with slimy hands. I would recommend against fixing your hairs after we started.
Some greet the slimy mollusk's arrival with disgust, then curiosity, and a little giggling. Brewer holds up a larger specimen, and the interactive lesson begins.
So octopus have 8 legs, right?
8 arms.
Arms. It's a test. All right, they have 8 arms. Each of the arms is covered with 230 to 280 sucker discs. Okay? So again, I said this octopus could probably hold around 4,000, 5,000 pounds using these sucker discs.
Brewer is usually based in Unalaska, working as an agent for the State Marine Advisory Program. But this particular week, he's teaching students at Edgecombe and other classrooms as part of the Sitka Whale Fest Science in the Schools program.
Okay, so I want you to look at the center part. So lift up your legs where all the legs come together underneath it, and you should find a black parrot-like beak. All right? It's right in the middle.
The students become focused as they locate, then remove the beaks. With Brewer's instructions and program volunteers' encouragement, they start searching for and examining a variety of organs. A few miles away, middle school students are learning how seals regulate body temperature by dipping their faces into cold water, and high schoolers are being briefed about marine acoustics.
We're trying to bring in scientists that have sort of cutting-edge ideas and are good at working with students.
Steve Lewis of Tenneke coordinates the Science in the Schools program.
Part of my role is as an educator and a scientist to try to bridge that gap and help some of the scientists figure out some of the tricks to really integrating and making kids remember what they've talked about and drawing them into the system.
Lewis says most students respond well, and it's not hard to spot which ones are interested in marine biology. He says Sitka students are a good audience since many are from fishing families and have firsthand experience with ocean life. But he says Edgecombe students are more interested in dissections.
A lot of them are from coastal communities around northern Alaska, and you can just see their eyes opening. They've done this before with, you know, hunting animals, but they're learning so much more about the physiology and what these organs that generally they were just pitching out as offal, perhaps, are doing for those animals and how it adapts them to their place in the ocean.
Dissections, also called necropsies, are difficult for some students. At least one lost her lunch during Brewer's octopus class. Lewis says it's part of the learning process.
Certainly you'd have some kids holding their noses and stuff, but usually once you get in there and things start to be interesting and you're pulling out lenses out of eyeballs and passing them around or something, all of a sudden they lose their fear.
Back in the classroom, Brewer instructs students as they cut into the octopus's mantle looking for internal organs.
Okay, so what I want you to do is, with the mantle, turn it so the eyes are facing down, and there's a little slit back here. I want you to cut this little slit, okay?
He circles the classroom, offering advice where it's needed. He stops to help three students from Southeast and the Interior.
You guys get it?
Yeah.
So once you cut that, I want you to cut this way, all the way. And what we want to do is kind of peel the mantle back from the organ. Just use your fingers to pull those.
This is the fourth necropsy for Kate Wilmarth from Red Devil, Brittany Woods Orison from Rampart, and Natasha Kukesh from Angoon.
We started with a
crayfish.
Crayfish.
And then we went to a
frog.
And then a rat.
Yeah. The rat was really gross.
So what's your favorite so far?
I think this one's
Yeah, this one's the coolest one so far.
Yeah.
Brewer continues around the room, helping students locate and identify organs, explaining their functions as he goes. Octopus sessions were offered to more than a dozen classes hosted by WhaleFest Science in the school's program. It also organized another 60 sessions on other marine topics. Coordinator Lewis says he'd like to add ocean acidification classes, and someday he hopes to offer similar sessions in other Southeast schools. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting from Sitka.
While a large part of WhaleFest includes sending scientists into schools to talk to students, Blatchley Middle School decided to try that in reverse this year and sent students into WhaleFest to talk to scientists. Sixth graders Lily Hood and Ella Lubin took along a microphone and sent back this audio postcard.
My name is Reed Brewer. I'm an associate professor with the Alaska Sea Grant Marine Advisory Program with the University of Alaska Fairbanks. So this year at WhaleFest, the theme is Cold Rivers to the Sea, Terrestrial Connections to Our Northern Seas.
What is your favorite part about WhaleFest?
My favorite part of WhaleFest is that we get to include students, both high school students, elementary school, middle school students, as well as college students. They get a chance to interact with the people giving the talks. So it's a chance to have discussions where you normally wouldn't.
Yeah.
They're
endangered because the main reason of death is they're getting entangled into the fishing nets.
Right, but didn't they close off their main habitat?
My name is Lucy Polson.
What was your favorite part about WhaleFest last year?
Learning about all of the different octopus and how they get tagged.
That's cool. What are you excited for this year?
Just learning about new science.
My name is Terry Williams. I'm a professor of biology at University of California, Santa Cruz.
Cool. Are you excited about any particular thing this year?
I haven't been to WhaleFest before, so I'm excited about everything. I actually just like talking to all the people and showing all the pictures of my animals. I love talking about my animals.
My name is Lily Hood.
My name is Ella Lubin.
Terry Williams asked the question at the beginning, is it easier to live on land or in water? And her speech was just about what animals have to do underwater and how they breathe and their heart rate and everything. And
at the end, her observations were it was easier to live on land because for marine mammals, they had to come up to the surface to breathe. And when they're hunting, like seals, for example, she talked about, it was very inconvenient because their food was underneath the water, but their air was above the water.
Hi, my name's Rebecca Hemshoot.
What did you think of Dr. Terry Williams'
The talk was amazing, but I think what really has stuck with me the most is Dr. Terry Williams herself and what an amazing life she has. Things that she's choosing to study and the places she's going to study those things. Who wouldn't love to do what she's doing? So I guess you could say she's living the dream, and that's as impressive as the last talk.
There's so much more to do in science. I mean, you never have the answer. It's always more you can do from what you found out.
The more that we learn, about these animals or about whatever you're studying, the more that we actually learn that we don't know that much about them.
But that's why it is satisfying, is because that makes you want to learn more about it.
Those are the voices of sixth grade students Lily Hood and Ella Lubin, reflecting on science and their recent trip to Sitka Whale Fest. They produced the postcard as part of teacher Janelle Farver's language arts class. If you want to hear this postcard again or Ed Schoenfeld's earlier story on the octopus dissection with photos, visit our website, kcaw.org. The Alaska Supreme Court held oral arguments Wednesday in an appeal from the state over same-sex marriage taxation issue. Last year, a Superior Court judge ruled same-sex couples are entitled to the same senior citizen and disabled veterans property tax exemptions as married couples. The decision was based on an earlier ruling saying state and municipal employees in same-sex relationships couldn't be denied partner benefits. The state appealed, arguing there is no discrimination in how the statute or the regulations are written, and any denial of the exemption is only temporary since both partners receive the benefit at age 65. Married couples get the break when one reaches the age. The ACLU argues the policy violates the Alaska Constitution's equal protection provision for treating married and same-sex couples differently. Alaska House Speaker Mike Chenault has a new distinction. The Nikiski Republican was recently elected to his third straight term as Speaker, which is unprecedented in Alaska. The late Representative Ben Grusendorf also served three times as Speaker, but not consecutive terms. Chenault has earned respect from lawmakers in both parties, including House Democratic leader Beth Krutula. Krutula says she and Chenault don't agree on a lot of the issues, but she says she appreciates his handling of procedural and administrative issues. She says he's good on process. She says Chenault also has a sense of humor and doesn't take himself too seriously, which she says serves him well as a Speaker. And that's all for Raven News, KCAW Sitka.